Spence is a matchover writer and editor currently completing her MFA in writing at the University of Saskatchewan on Treaty 6 territory. Her writing has appeared in literary journals such as Prairie Fire, ARC Poetry Magazine, and Poetry is Dead. In 2019, she won the New Quarterly's Edna Stabler Personal Essay Contest and placed second in Contemporary Verse 2's two-day poem contest. She also won first place in Room Magazine's Short Forms Contest in 2018. Her debut collection of poetry, The World is Mostly Sky, came out this spring with Turnstone Press. Please welcome Sarah Enns.
Thank you so much. It's so lovely to get to read as part of Speaking Crow. I was saying this a little bit before, but I love coming to Speaking Crow, and it was one of the events that I always looked forward to. And so I'm really, really excited that it gets to exist in a virtual space now, and that we get to still gather and share our work together. And thank you so much to Angeline for that introduction and for choosing that beautiful Crow poem, and then also for earlier the exciting poem that you shared, which drew from my book. It was very lovely to hear that. So I will be reading poems from The World is Mostly Sky this evening, and I'm going to begin with the first poem of the collection. Maybe I'll check first. Sound is okay? Okay. So this poem is called By the Skin. I have pulled out my own teeth, called them tenderly as disciples, each the hollow hurt of bone. I have given them to certain friends and family in square white envelopes. Here, have these things I grew in my sleep here. Take all the yanking in me. And I've buried one behind each apartment I've lived in, hoping they'll grow into the skeletons of words but bend like breath in the breeze. I suppose I'm wishing for each stone of me to become something sound. Aha, I say, with my mouth too wide. Here, see my biting gifts, these baby promise pearls, these hard little dreams. So I'm going to read a poem now called The Sacredness of Sleepovers. And it's kind of part of this section of the book that are coming of age poems, but also one of many poems in the book that is about the healing power of female friendships, I think. So it is called The Sacredness of Sleepovers. How I could never keep vigil. Needed waking to choose which teacher to kill, marry, or screw. Elementary school songs like swears, like spells shaking the walls of the spare room. Then, sneaking our mother's vodka. The first time we sorted puzzle pieces for hours before crumpling to confess the ways we felt ourselves, the spaces we'd found that made us ashamed. How I once threw a whole cake on the floor at the end of an all-nighter, and we scrubbed and scrubbed, but the stain on the unfinished wood still spread. So, standing our ground, we filled our mouths with ancient magics, spoke our scriptures in candy fuzz tongues. How I wanted to loosen the knot at the nape of your neck, escaped from my attempt at a French braid. You looking to me blurry and tangled, telling me that he touched you when you were just a kid. How we pressed shirt sleeves to chins, how our eyes burned that dark room, and how the prayer that curled from our growing lungs lengthened like smoke, stretching up and up to safer sleep. And the next poem I'm going to read is a summer poem. I chose a couple of poems that are set in summer or feel summery to me, so that felt right for August. This poem is called Silos. That summer, we wore too much black and sat on the heaters in the hall, stood in fields with boys named Jake and Brett and Cole, invited them to our parties. We lay on trampolines, sucking ice pops, plastic wrappers sticky across our cheeks, ran up piles of gravel with slurpy straws in our mouths, slid all the way down in dust. The small stones rubbed our hands soft. At summer's end, I put my arms in your coat and felt us turn to memory. How we screamed into silos over and over, our own echo startling, old, tender as stars. How I wrote lyrics on your jeans, pressed in thumb ink heartbeats. How you rubbed holes in the knees. So the next poem that I'm going to read is kind of a travel adventure poem, which I'm missing these days in pandemic. There's also some night terror, sleep paralysis stuff in this poem, which has not, unfortunately, ended with pandemic. So anyway, this poem is called Found Offering. Oh, also, maybe I'll flag, there is some German in this poem, which I do pronounce poorly, so apologies in advance for that. Found Offering. My arms where they fall rise with rash, angry against the pillow. To be true, this has been my body's reaction to everything, unless I can leave it. A trick I do know, fainting in church again this spring. My mom touched two cold fingers to my lips. Remember Berlin? I thought a lot about growing those days, the tenderness that goes into making a person. Lying down in St. Johannes Evangelist Kirche, listening to a sound installation. My artist friend afterwards said the bad things she's done left her with boring words. I loved her like that, licking the foam from the edge of her cup, claiming ghosts. And I'm not so scared of haunting now. It seems a comfort. My throat squeezed sore around this morning. So I call angels outreaching, their long fingers scorched against my temple. Last night, I woke just after 3, thinking a man was standing above me shining a flashlight. I couldn't move, kept saying, I don't understand. I try again, say it aloud to the dark stain high on my white wall, some trace of an old tenant. I say it in Latin, low German, my body a house to fail, pray in. I met a beautiful Belgian boy in Berlin. He had strawberry blonde hair and dimples, said Cacophony, won a beer tasting competition, and later, on the steps to that altar, I fell asleep. I dreamt I became famous for a poem called Peace on Earth, etc. I dreamt my skin slipped open. It's kneading easy, the inbreaking divine. Luckily, there's not too much German in that one, so I'm gonna skate over it. The next poem that I'm going to read has a fun Speaking Crow tie-in, kind of. It's called When Cohen Dies, and I wrote it shortly after Leonard Cohen passed away. And I was at a Speaking Crow event, and I can't remember who said it. It was either an open mic person or the featured reader, and Leonard Cohen had just died, and she said, you know, every Canadian poet has a Leonard Cohen poem, or if they don't already, they do now. And that kind of spurred me on to to write a Leonard Cohen poem of my own. So it's called When Cohen Dies. 1. My ex calls and I think twice, then answer from under the covers of my parents' spare room. Let him recall last August when I'd cut my foot open on a stone barely submerged in the lake and liked too much his fingers curling my white gauze, dripping salt water where it stung. Him securing me a wheelchair in the art gallery, the roof of his arms leaning me through those carpeted rooms, walls of heads in raincoats, color like plastic, hard blue. He wished he had more art in his home, would talk that way, rubbing thumbs over antique writing desks, and later taking me down to the river, where we caught bullheads, and though I hobbled the bank to hurl each back, the big one he kept, hooked its gills, knuckled whiskers, sliced open and spilled, guts gulping between his palms like prayer, debrided on the beach. He doesn't believe in baptism, he said, elbows on each side of me, and I do still wait for water, eyes shut in the spare room against the soft old sheet, now November, and my ex sounds like he got better. 2. A benediction. That day, along muddy Assiniboine, a wasp drowned in my beer bottle's throat, and wet I let it sour my tongue. Lord, he asked for proof of grace, and I was ready, Leonard, but embarrassed, sloughed off the body in my spit where it squirmed and flicked little legs, tried to lift wings booze-soaked till I coffined it in my hand, wanting, as I've always wanted, to be ministered to, excused, and blessed. But there, written in blood, a song sure in coming, a call and answer, unending, ending, ending, his voice on the phone. I just have a few more to read tonight. This one also, the first time I read this poem ever was at a Speaking Crow event as part of the open mic. And I'll just say that truly reading as part of the Speaking Crow open mic is just the warmest, best room to read into. And I remember reading this poem and people were so kind and so enthusiastic. And it's just really cool that now it's found its way into this book. I'm grateful for Speaking Crow and all the ways that it affirms, especially emerging poets. I think that's so wonderful. To know about this poem, I do quote from Marilyn Monroe a lot, Marilyn Monroe movies, and the title itself comes from the movie The Misfits, and it's, you could blow up the whole world and end up feeling sorry for yourself. I've been obsessing over Marilyn Monroe, and I think I might be in love with her, me and everyone else. I've been having stress dreams about my ex-lovers. They keep sitting next to me wearing too many hats. Sometimes we're in a church. Sometimes we're in a park, sometimes we're in a bar. It's me, don't you remember? The tomato from upstairs. I am trying to memorize one good Marilyn monologue, but I just can't do the voice. Sometimes I fantasize about my ex-lovers dying. It is because they seem happy and I seem unhappy, but it's not that I want them to be dead so much as I want them to be sad and bald. After Marilyn died, Arthur Miller said he wouldn't go to her funeral because she won't be there, and that made me weep, walking down Portage, drinking McDonald's coffee. I don't have murder in me, probably. I'm learning to sit still with what is in me and forgive myself for it. How do you find your way back in the dark? Just yesterday, I shared a beer with one ex-lover while he told me he was sorry. And also that he is trying to think of a reason for doing everything that he is doing, which I could not relate to. I'm trying to be less dramatic, but I also want everyone to pay attention to me as though I am having a crisis, which I am not. So you pull yourself together. You go on to the next job, the next saxophone player. The newest experiment of my life is that I'm trying to only wash my hair once a week. And the cycle of grief and self-denial has been extremely affirming. While I take my baths and do not wash my hair, I practice monologues for the two cats watching from the mat. A stairway to nowhere. I think that's just elegant. And I don't hate Arthur Miller at all, which I realize makes me part of the problem. I used to think I would be the sort of person who would attract love very easily, but I'm coming to grips with the fact that there aren't really reasons for very many things, though maybe that's what I'm running away from when... sitting beside my ex, our knees touch, just once, under the table. I can tell you one thing. It's not going to happen to me again. Ever. So I have 3 more poems. It's so fun to see like a flurry of hands, but just complete silence. I'm going to read 3 more poems. This one is called Communion. We turn to ritual, dyeing each other's hair in the bathrooms of the houses we house sit. We stain the counters, paint bruising the laminate. We do not make everything into a metaphor. try knitting. Accumulating mildew and fruit flies, we drink from mason jars left under a full snow moon, push bare hands into gray slush and wash the car with it. A coyote running along the river stops to stare. How embarrassing, our howls are tilting to sky. We splash the pinups by the bathtub, collages we clipped from old playboys, and replace them, cut careful halos around their heads. We perform at parties and nail the lifts. Often, when we open our eyes at night, we see someone kneeling by the nightstand or curled in the closet. They are crouched and confessing. They are denying. They are grinning with small, sharp teeth. Upon waking, we conjure probiotics, brew, and ferment. We search the carpet for claws the cat has shed, place them points up under our pillows. We find a little dead bird on the windowsill, bury it in the tomato plant. We sit around on the kitchen floor, a box of red wine and the mugs our mothers made. We tell each other some of what has happened to us. Something has happened to all of us. Are telling, teaching us this. It helps to say it happened, to do this in remembrance. It helps to say this body, this blood, to say me too, me too. So I just have two more poems. I'm going to read, one of them is another summer one, summer one/apocalypse. And it's called Broken Seals All Summer. By glass, I'm impossibly close. Try to read something in the glazed female face, 7 gorillas in all. A sign says, survival breeding plan. The crowd looks and laughs. 7, a reference to creation, recite my friends, returned with red palms. They'll live at least to 70, so long as they get real on health. I am interested in healing, but the world's beyond it, the spectacular rotation found even in the spirals of our thumbs. We scroll images of Orca heaving her baby's corpse above waves, 17 days awake, take us, take up us. How to honor this looming knowing, offer evocation of wholeness, 7, dance ocean proverb to dust, spit, bacteria growing legs to stand on, the shifting DNAs extravagant in despair. From our porch, worms drip sticky thread. The canopy infested, elms stretched white and ragged, I see a circus, squirming satellites, a womb collecting membranes delicate with dignity, pearled to tightly knitted bones. We text our doom free bleeding, save seeds, crystal clutch. Of course, preserves won't keep horizon from shrapnel in the haze. Light and dark, water from water, the gathering of earth, seasons and stars, then moving creatures and beasts. Our image, I hear it coming. Okay, I just have one more poem, and it is called Powerful Millennials on the California Freeway. Got lost pointing to huge white wind turbines and outlet malls. Laura, missing him, said she'd love a song like Springsteen. So when the radio started dancing in the dark, we screamed, slammed the horn, and careened through strange desert sand, ridiculous brushy palms, rolled down the borrowed car top, something happening somewhere. What else might we invoke, waving iced coffees to the sun? Thank you so much.